welcome back to the quickly approaching close of our short but sweet Memorable Moments series here on Gospel Life. That's right, on our next episode, I'll lay before you one more tantalizing portion of rich and tasty gospel wisdom. And then we'll spend the remainder of this podcast season leaning into a few other keep the main thing of the gospel, the main thing in our lives, topics. My name, as always, is Mark Podell. And let me tell you, I'm just so very grateful that you've joined me in this gospel life adventure. Now, our memorable moment for today finds its roots way back in the history of Israel, and it was made popular and very memorable by a much-loved hymn of the church. But first, let me set that historical stage for you. So as Exodus chapter 16 begins, the people of Israel are about 1 month into their journey through the wilderness towards the promised land. And thus far, let me tell you, it's been a very busy month. There was a hasty middle-of-the-night exodus from the land of Egypt, their home for over 400 years. And within days of their escape, the anger of Pharaoh was raised, and he directed his army and chariots to mount a full-scale assault on the fleeing Israelites. Then, if you recall, there was the miraculous miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea just as the army of Egypt bore down on them. And that was followed by a most raucous celebration of 2 million Israelites as they stood on the shores of the Red Sea and sang praises to God as they surveyed the dead bodies of their enemies. And only 3 days later, these same people who had been rescued through water by the Lord, they complained to him over their lack of water. And in response, God graciously provided what they needed and directed them to a well-watered oasis for their refreshment. Now, you would think that at that point, all would finally be well. But no. Like us, God's generosity in the past often does not translate into gratitude and trust in the present. And as the Israelites looked at their life and condition, they found, yet another reason to complain. Even though there was plenty of meat and livestock readily available within their camp, they wanted bread to eat. Listen how the Lord responds in Exodus 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." Let me ask you, did you catch that? The Lord tested the Israelites by providing enough food for the day. And so every evening they were to thank him for his provision, and every morning they were to trust him for the needs of the day. In that wilderness, they needed to learn daily dependence on the Lord, as Jesus would later teach his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." You see, more than they needed bread, God's people needed to learn to trust him and his word. Okay, Mark, thanks for the brief history recap. So what's the memorable moment for us? How does what happened then relate to us now? Well, listen, friend, in the same way, God gives you what you need for today. That's right. What you need to honor and obey and trust him, you have that for today, but you only have it for today. Recall the words of that wonderful hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." Let me tell you, this one line must have been written with Exodus 16 in mind. The songwriter crafted this verse, "Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow." And that, that's our memorable moment. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Listen, God has provided for you and I strength for today. And in his kindness, he has also provided bright hope for tomorrow. So what we need for today, he has provided. And where to place our hopes for the future, he has provided as well. Oh, what a generous God we have. You see, he knows that, like the Israelites of old, we're all tempted to squander what we have today and spend far too much time worrying about tomorrow. And that's why Jesus stated so clearly in Matthew 6, verse 34, don't be anxious about tomorrow. That's why God's word contains such promises as this one from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Listen with me to this quote from John Piper in his book, Mercy for Today. He wrote, God's mercies are new every morning because each day only has enough mercy in it for that day. Why are they new every morning? Why does God do it that way? It's not because yesterday's mercies were bad or weak. It's because they were yesterday's. Yesterday's mercies were for yesterday's burdens. Today's mercies are for today's burdens. They are new every morning. They are like the manna in the wilderness. You can't keep it overnight. Enough comes for each day. Well, that was a good word from Dr. Piper. See, friends, God does not give us strength for tomorrow, today. This is his most wise and perfect plan. Therefore, each and every day, you and I face a test. Will we trust him for today and honor him today and live and labor for him today and then leave tomorrow in his hands? You see, I know you know this, but worrying about tomorrow never works, does it? I mean, at least in my life, it only makes today harder than it need be. In fact, in that Matthew 6 passage, Jesus asked an exposing question. Which of you, by being anxious, can add even a single hour to his life? And the answer is, well, none of us. Not only do you and I not know what tomorrow will bring, but we only have enough resources from the Lord for today. And catch this, if we spend some of today's strength worrying about tomorrow, we will not have enough strength for today. Now, listen, that doesn't mean you and I shouldn't plan or prepare, but it does mean that there is no grace for the future until it finally arrives, which is why we're told in the scripture to hold all things in the future lightly and gratefully and humbly. In fact, listen to what the Apostle James wrote in chapter 4 of his New Testament letter. He wrote, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you have to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." Now, to be clear, friends, planning is not evil, but boasting in those plans is. And one of the ways we boast in our arrogance is by spending too much time thinking about and worrying over and scheming about tomorrow, when what God has called us to do is to love and honor and serve him today. Now, listen, you and I can only do this if we are convinced, and I mean really and truly convinced, that God is faithful to his people. And let me tell you, in the gospel, he goes out of his way to provide enduring and convincing proof that what he has promised, he will always deliver. You see, centuries after Israel complained in the wilderness about bread, God would again provide what they needed, only this time, he wouldn't send pieces of manna raining down from heaven. Oh, no. He would send his son, Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus announced in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John? Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And friends, Jesus would come to feed and nourish and bring life to his people who were dead in their sin and rebellion. You see, what should have rained down on us was judgment. But that judgment was poured down upon Jesus in a righteous, wrath-filled torrent. And because of that deluge, what rains down on us now is blessing. This is what Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Then that familiar verse from Romans 8, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" So listen, friends, how can we trust God for strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow? Oh, look at the cross. Look at the empty grave. God has gone above and beyond to prove his faithfulness to us. I mean, that's what we're going to celebrate on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. New mercies I see. All I have needed, oh, your hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.